At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omer Al-Khatib, Director of Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you, and good afternoon, and thank you for joining us, and welcome to our second quarter conference call. On the line with us today, we have joining us Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders. We also have Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaetan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-GAAP financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as reconciliation to GAAP measures, we direct you to our news release and our recent filings on SEDAR. I'll now turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thanks, Omer. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Alliance Grain Traders second quarter conference call. We appreciate the opportunity to discuss the performance of our company as well as the opportunities that lie ahead for us. Second quarter of 2010 was a very challenging one. A number of factors have contributed to these challenges, resulting in lower reported numbers than we have traditionally seen. While our total sales for the quarter saw growth, we did report lower earnings and net income. We would like to share with you some of the factors that contributed to this. As you know, in quarter one, we saw the slowdown in buying from international markets, which is a normal timing issue that arises every year in the convergence period between old crop and new crop. However, unlike previous years, in quarter two, we saw international buyers postponing their purchase decisions in a market of declining prices and very good replenished international supplies. Simply, we believe that buyers feared losses on purchases, bought at higher prices, even with ample supply available in the marketplace. Turkey has, for the most part, rebounded to more normalized production levels, and reports from Canada and the U.S. are for a record crop level for lentils and most other pulse varieties. Buyers were afraid to be caught holding the bag for product they would have to sell at lower levels. And as a result of such purchasing delays, local stocks in most key consumption markets are estimated to be at historical lows, and this has impacted our overall results for the quarter. Other factors, such as heavy rainfall and overall diminishing supply we have seen in Western Canada and Northern Plains states, have impacted our ability to bring what product is available into our facilities for processing during this past quarter. And while buyers were hesitating to buy, farmers, occupied by concerns over the wet conditions and impact it would have on their crops, were not delivering their grain into our system. Ultimately, these factors led to lower sales in our traditional products, in particular in lentils, and an erosion of margin in our value-added pulses and staple food business. We were forced to rely on sales of lower margin commodities, such as peas, to maintain our capacity utilization. Additionally, in some of our origins, less product was available to process and export. As opposed to reducing staff or hours, management made the decision to keep our people at work and our plants continuing to function by redeploying our people to execute previously planned capital expansion projects. Completion of these projects is on track for harvest, and we feel they will pay dividends in the quarters to come. We're optimistic about the balance of the year and our ability to develop sales opportunities in all four of our core staple foods platforms. While we reported higher sales of $149.2 million, as a result of these factors, we reported adjusted EBITDA of only $4.7 million, down from $5.1 million last year, and a decrease in adjusted net income to $2.4 million, from $3.04 million last year. All of our second quarter 2010 financial results and notes thereto are available on SEDAR and from our website at www.alliancegrain.com. We really see these factors that have impacted our quarter diminishing as the 2010 year progresses and the 2011 year begins. I want to share with you how we feel AGT is positioned to capitalize on the opportunities going forward in the year. First, is the significant amount of product supply that is expected to be available in the world. In North America, Canada, and the U.S., we're showing signs of estimated record production levels for almost all types of pulses. Turkey has recovered to normalized production levels, with some reports showing the highest production level since 2006-2007. And Australia has been reporting a positive start to the 2010 crop cycle with good moisture levels. Demand in India looks to continue to be strong. There are all positive indicators for the replenishment of global supply and a return to normal supply and export levels. These supplies will find their way into consumption markets that they're destined for, as buyers will have to fill not only their local market demand for pulses and staple foods, but also to replenish the pipeline that has been diminished from postponing buying decisions. A significant pent-up demand for our products, we feel, should start to push our exports in the later part of this year. And the ample projected stocks in all origins and the market demand is good news for AGTI and our shareholders. Our multi-origin strategy was developed to capitalize on these types of conditions, as well as protect us from crop shortfalls and in the inevitable years that these conditions can happen in some regions. Obviously, we cannot ignore the reports of heavy rainfall in much of Western Canada, and that has affected crops and resulted in lost acres. However, the loss of acres has affected traditional cereal and oilseed crops much more than pulses, as many pulses were planted in May before the start of the significant rainfall. And farmers did manage to put more lentils in the ground as conditions allowed later on in June as we had dry periods, resulting in Statistics Canada and Agriculture Canada reporting an estimated seeding level of 3.36 million acres of lentils in Canada. Other pulses report similar yet not as dramatic increases. And warmer weather in the midsummer has allowed pulses, which need warm weather as they're finishing maturity, to finish properly. Our overall expectations are for a good quality and quantity of crop in Canada and the U.S. Of course, we still do have a few weeks until the final harvest. This comes in a period where all origins are producing or projected to produce well. We see this as the start of the realization of the plans we put in motion with our expansions into the U.S. and Australia, the acquisitions we completed in Canada, and ultimately the transformational acquisition of Arbel in Turkey. The second factor I wanted to discuss is the steady demand for pulses and staple foods is anticipated to continue. The positive demand is expected to allow AGTI to drive its efforts for better capacity utilization globally, as more products produced means more products to process and export. The normalization of production in Turkey with the completion and integration of the Arbel acquisition is expected to allow AGT to further enter new markets. And Arbel, with its close proximity as well as warehousing and production facilities, allow for the opportunity to further penetrate the Middle East, North African markets, and non-traditional pulse markets like North America and Western Europe are continuing their focus on chickpeas, consumed as hummus, beans consumed year-round, providing opportunities for our facilities in Canada and the U.S. Demand in the Indian subcontinent is estimated to continue high, as it has been for the past few years, with potential for increased shipments at continued good margins from all of our origins, including Australia. AGTI operating divisions in this way will be well-positioned compared to our regional competitors to fill the pent-up demand in local markets around the globe, not only for our pulse products, but for other staple foods like our Arbella line of pasta, our rice products, our other milled wheat products like bulgur, and the other products we produce like popcorn and sunflower seeds. With regards to our expansions, we have not wavered from our strategy of well-placed tuck-in acquisitions to complement the organic growth we see on the horizon. Acquisition opportunities that make sense and that provide strategic advantages, whether in processing capacity, freight and logistics, or warehousing in key markets, continue to be our focus. In the past, we have commented on our efforts to smooth the seasonality of our business. The replenishment of the local market supply through 2010 and into 2011 should, we believe, lead to a return to strong sales to fill demands. This, we feel, will compensate for lower sales volumes of some of our core value-added commodities that we have seen recently and continue with our strategy for supplying markets with quality proteins, staple foods on a year-round basis. We cannot ignore the fundamentals of our company. Our capacity is well-placed. Global production looks to rebound, And in 1 month, harvest will start in Canada and the U.S. We feel optimistic about the opportunities and challenges ahead, and we feel we're well positioned to continue on the growth plan to build on the foundation we've established. I thank you for your interest in Alliance Grain Traders. I'm joined by members of our executive management team, and we'll be pleased to answer questions with the remainder of the time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for the response to all the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Robert Winslow, I always take the first question. Go ahead, Robert.
Just trying to get some clarity on the revenues, record revenues, $150 million, yet talking about not getting having enough product to put through your facilities. Was this, it sounds like it was a product mix issue. Is that because...
Yeah, it's definitely, Robert, it's a product mix issue. I mean, if you look at the carry-in stocks of, you know, pulses in particular in Canada, you know, we have, you know, very significant carry out of peas. And, you know, if you look at our segmented revenue information on the geographic segmentation, I mean, really the story of the demand, you know, change in this quarter, you know, is an extremely, you know, telling thing. So if you look through to that note, you know, you'll see, you know, segmented revenues on the Europe, Middle East, North Africa, which of course, North Africa, Middle East is our main,
yep,
you know, market of concentration. You'll see that, you know, revenue went from, I think, just off the top of my head, about 137 or so million down to about 18 million. And so, you know, this is really just a complete, you know, collapse of the market demand as a result of an anticipated Turkish crop coming very large and prices actually adjusting by hundreds of dollars down. It crippled demand with importers fearful of, you know, getting caught, as I said in my comments, holding the bag.
Yep.
And so, you know, what that did is it left us in, you know, focus on markets like Asia. And, you know, I have to be honest, Robert, I look at every, you know, situation with the future view too. You know, we're entering new markets. I mean, we were very active in the pea market in China. We were very active in the pea markets in India over the course of this period. The margins aren't what we traditionally enjoy. But at the same time, we will continue to push into those markets and continue to try and build our position in those markets and improve our margins as we go forward so that we can continue to drive the utilization of our plants. So, you know, the Asia concentration, if you look at that segmented info, you can see, again, a very telling story of, you know, focus on Asia, focus away from our traditional core strength area of North Africa, Middle East. And that's coming back around. We're seeing, just as we expected, importers are now into the Ramadan season. So Ramadan started last Wednesday, and already we're feeling the demand tremors where, you know, the importers didn't import enough product for their Ramadan demand and recognize that by the end of the Ramadan period, they're going to be out of product.
Mm-hmm.
So we're ready with our Turkish plant to feed them in the short term, and Canadian and U.S. new crops are coming.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question is from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. How are
you? Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Fine, thank you. You sort of touched on this at the end of Robert's question, but really what I'm after is any sort of commentary you could provide on whether you're seeing the early signs of that demand recovery already in Q3, and then the B part to that question is if under more normalized conditions, whether that you'd expect any change in the margin profile.
Yeah, Gaytan, are you you're on the call, I believe, right? I apologize, guys. I'm in Turkey, so I think you're on the call.
Yeah,
I'd like you to
I'm
maybe comment, Gaytan.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing now is, you know, buyers from many markets coming to us with that pent up demand that Murad mentioned, and It's kind of a wait and see game, though, because no one wants to plunge in deep because they're scared that Canada does have good yield potential. So I think over the next 2 weeks, it'll be a telling sign. The sales will start to roll in, and our capacity for October, November will fill up quickly.
And then with respect to...
I think that, Mark, just as a further commentary to Gaytan's comment, I mean, this is all a sign game, right? We're already feeling it. The inquiry volume is coming up. We know, you know, as a result of the fact that you have to recognize that AGT doesn't just sell product. You know, we have our market intelligence in the markets. We know what stocks are there. We know the pipelines are empty. And, you know, at the same time as buyers aren't wanting to plunge into the market, we're also not seeing growers selling, you know, until they get the crop in the bin with a late seeding and, you know, the period that we're at right now, the critical finish period. Growers that have sold new crop have sold. We've bought it. We've sold it. Growers that don't want to sell are waiting for another couple of weeks till they get the product in the bin. As soon as the product comes, our facilities are ready to roll.
Okay, and then with respect to the margin profile, once we're well into, let's say, you know, late Q3, early Q4, same sort of margin profile on that we've traditionally been used to seeing?
Mark, I want to tell you, there's no fundamental change in this story. You know, the ultimate markets are sound. We had a, you know, complete transition of what I would call a three-year transition happen in one quarter, where you had, you know, historically high prices correct down. You had supply diminished in one of the most important production regions, Turkey, for the last two seasons. And when all of that came into one particular period, you had the markets that were basically paralyzed. You know, nothing's changed. Margin profiles, demand fundamentals. Guys, this is not a product that people decide today I want to buy, tomorrow I don't. If they make that decision, it's a temporary decision. That demand doesn't go away because the pipeline needs to be replenished.
Okay, that's good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Christine Healy of Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Christine Healy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. First question is on pasta. If you look at the segmented disclosure, the revenue looks a little low there. I'm hoping that you could talk to that, how the pasta business performed in the quarter. Maybe give us a sense for how much of the EBITDA contributed in the quarter.
Yeah, a couple of things, Christine. I guess for the benefit of everybody on the call, I have to say I'm in Turkey, so I hadn't seen the segmented as detailed as I usually do. But we actually are going to be filing out a clarification. I'm not sure how we're going to do that yet, but we will do that. So the follow-up on this call will be clarifying the pasta that was sold from Turk Pulse. You know, we have the three companies in Turkey. So we have Arbel, Turk Pulse, and Durum, which is the Arbella company. But for the export side, we do use Turk Pulse to do a number of the export market sales of pasta. Those were on a clerical error, inadvertently lumped in with pulses.
Oh.
So because they were a Turk Pulse sale, they were lumped into that category. So actually the pasta sale, the pasta semolina and bulgur sales were, I believe, Laura, you can help me out with this, but it's about $6.2 million higher than what the segmented note says.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it 6.2? You could just clarify that number.
Just over 6 million Canadian. They'd be lower for quarter one, higher for quarter two.
Yeah, so there was just, it's just a classification error. So we'll sort out with, you know, with our advisors as to what the best way to get that information widely distributed. But so to clarify, Christine, it says 3 million. It's actually about 9 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at it, you know, the past fundamentals, you know, continue strong. I just spent the last week actually at Arbel, you know, going through each one of the operations. And, you know, we ended up crossing 50 countries of export in Arbella. And, you know, the margin profile continues as we projected. And it is the business unit in Turkey that is absolutely on track, you know, 8 months post-acquisition or 9 months post-acquisition. So, you know, I'm very pleased with the development. And, you know, definitely the pasta side, you know, without the pasta side, the results wouldn't have been $4.7 million adjusted EBITDA. So it was a very significant contributor to that.
Okay, and what's the status of selling Arbella in Canadian stores?
Well, I can tell you that there's Arbella on a ship somewhere on its way to Canada. So we'll be doing the launch out in Canada in the very near term. So I would expect within the next 30 to 45 days, you'll start to see it in GTA Quebec. That's the first launch. It'll be an Ontario Quebec launch to start. And, you know, we'll take a real managed approach on it. I mean, for us, Canada is a pride thing too, but at the same time, I'm all about making margin. So we want to do a managed launch, make sure we get it into the right retail, and start a long-term strategy.
Okay, and then moving on to deployment of cash, because I'm sure a lot of people are looking for some information on this. If the PASTA facilities are running at 80% or so capacity, what is the timing of adding a new line? And then also on the rice, you've talked previously that this business is doing well and it's a core growth area. So when can we see some expansion in that business segment?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, the deployment of capital is high on everyone's mind. Those of you that have had the opportunity to get to know me, you know, recognize a couple of things. I don't overpay for businesses. And, you know, so we're going through make versus buy decisions. And, you know, I would expect within the short term, we're going to have those, you know, worked out. And you're going to see, you know, deployment of capital starting here early in the fall. So, you know, the PASTA side, I mean, definitely, you see, the way, just to clarify for everyone, the way the PASTA business works is we added in September, October of 2009, a long cut PASTA line. So long cut meaning spaghetti, linguine, fettuccine. When you give those products to export markets, it creates demand for the short cut varieties. So a retailer in Israel, for instance, or a retailer in Japan who takes the spaghetti says, you know, this is selling well. Now I want penne, rigatoni, and I want elbows. So each line type creates the demand for the next line. And so, you know, the examination now is to, you know, continue down the path of adding more shortcut capacity to go along with the long cut capacity we had last year. The Arbella story is build out capacity, build out sales, build out margin. You know, you're not going to see us in the near term, you know, going out and doing large, you know, third-party acquisitions on the PASTA side, you know, focused outside of Turkey. Because, you know, Turkey is really our focus on the brand side, you know, in terms of what we've developed for a brand. And the rest of it is a focus on distribution, retail, and you know, quality and price advantage on the export market. On the rice side, Christine, the leased rice mill continues to run. You can see from the segmented that it is contributing. But really, the real margin comes from owning your own rice mill and buying paddy rice directly from farmers and transforming paddy rice into brown rice into white rice, use color sorting, polishing, packaging, and retail distribution to capture the margin directly from the rice farmer, directly to the retail markets in the region that consumes medium grain rice. And so you'll see, you know, movement on that, you know, initiative coming up in the coming months as well.
In the coming months? Okay. you just gave away something there. Your exclusive rights products, you guys talk about this all the time, the B90 chickpea, Skyline Navy.
Yes.
You know, can you give us some kind of sense on when we can see the full benefit of this in your earnings and maybe some idea as to what the impact could be, like how material this could be for your facilities?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. The two major varieties that we're really, you know, going to see the benefits of in this crop year are the B90 chickpea, which is a 7-millimeter chickpea that is actually aimed at the hummus markets on the grinding side and also on the canning side for Europe. So, you know, and let's say in the Italian market, the B90 is actually a preferred canning chickpea because it starts as a 7-millimeter, but after it's hydrated, it becomes a 9-millimeter. And so they really like the hydration properties of this particular chickpea. And so, you know, the exclusive worldwide commercialization rights for North American production started in earnest for this crop year. So we ended up on a closed-loop production system with growers throughout Saskatchewan and North Dakota, and I think we have some in eastern Montana as well. And that product should be harvested starting end of August, early September, and we'll start to see those running through our plants. The B90 is a significant program, and, you know, it will be one of the drivers that is forecast to take Alliance to become the largest, or certainly one of the two largest. I think we will be the largest in the world in chickpea export in 2010-2011. And so this will be a part of the smoothing the seasonality game. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about beans, but chickpeas as well have the potential, you know, for us to grow to a well over 100,000-ton program throughout Canada, U.S., Australia, and Turkey. And, you know, we're also continuing to become active in the Turkish chickpea market to drive the utilization of capacity at Arbel. So that's one of the big programs of the B90. The other is the King Red Lentil. The King Red Lentil is being billed as the boldest, you know, the boldest, largest red split lentil in the world. And that's a branding initiative we started about 2 years ago. This is the first year of commercial production of the King Red. And we'll have somewhere in the range of about, 25,000 tons or so to sell in the world, or maybe a bit more. And that's going to be a very significant branding program for us. It basically takes production, it closes the loop, makes farmers grow it, deliver it back to us. We can brand and extract a premium as we market throughout the world.
Okay, that's great. That's it for me. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Christine.
Next question is from David Pupo of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad.
Amy, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. You?
I'm all right.
Let's go back and beat the horse on Europe, Middle East, and North Africa. The difference and the sequential drop second quarter from the first quarter, what I'm wondering about is how you're so confident, given the fact that you're not talking incredibly positive on third quarter. The first quarter was so large. How do you know that that product has been sold through to the end user and it's not going to be there through the third quarter, through the fourth quarter, and your whole year turns out to be less satisfactory than expected?
Well, there's a couple of things, David. I mean, remember, as I said earlier on, you know, we're not just a sales company. We're not just a trading co that relies on, you know, information that comes from the market. We have distribution on the ground in key consumption markets. Remember, this is part of what we've been saying the last few conference calls. We're running distribution in Egypt now. We're running distribution in Turkey with the Arbel acquisition. You know, we're running a distribution in the Indian subcontinent now in terms of warehousing distribution. You know, we have our key buyers on the ground. So, you know, we have a very good sense of what the stock that's moving through the country, what's coming in, what's being imported, what's being consumed, you know, and all of that factors into the decisions. I can tell you that, you know, one of the key demand factors for us and why I feel that the outlook on the demand is going to be kickstarted is stocks were limited to begin with, and we now have Ramadan, where we're right in the middle of it. And, you know, Ramadan and the holy month of Ramadan, people think of it as a fasting period, but don't recognize the consumption of these items that actually do take place after people break fast. And so from that perspective, you know, we're seeing very significant move in the market in products. So we're very confident that stocks are dwindling and that they will be replenished. If I made the sense that Q3 was not going to be a satisfactory quarter, I want to, you know, reiterate one thing. Turkey's utilization is running well. So, you know, we didn't have product in Q2 in Turkey. So remember, the crop in Turkey doesn't get harvested until around the 10th to the 15th of June. So by the time we receive product in any volume and process it, we have maybe 5 to 7 days of the quarter that actually take into account Turkish new crop. So Turkey's running, and, you know, frankly, even the first dribs and drabs of Canadian product, you know, have started to arrive. But we expect within the next 1 week to 10 days, North Dakota and eastern Montana will start, and within the next 10 days to 14 days, Saskatchewan will begin in earnest. So, you know, we do have very large capacity that we can fill in the late August-September periods to deliver results for this quarter. So I am optimistic. I mean, I think, you know, for us, it's supply, it's demand, it's there. Of course, the crop's not in the bin. I mean, we still have, you know, in any ag business, weather risk until we have harvest complete. And so, you know, we'll keep our eye on late August, you know, frost and those kinds of things. But assuming normal weather, things look okay.
Okay, so looking
now, David,
back,
just remind me of, because your question was kind of a complex one, so what else do you want me to talk about?
You know, I'm trying to look back at the first quarter and use history, because you're still a new company and your growth trajectory is so aggressive. I'm trying to use the difference, the delta between the second quarter and the first quarter in the Europe, Middle East, and North Africa, and try to determine, if you looked back at the first quarter, what drove that quarter to be so big? And how do we, or what types of information, data, et cetera, can we use to be modeling fourth quarter, first quarter of next year, and third quarter of the year beyond? I'm not asking you to build my model. I'm trying to understand the nuances of this business that seem to be huge fluctuations from quarter to quarter as we've seen you grow into a larger company.
I mean, there's a couple of things. I don't think you can take the Q2 fluctuation in earnings that you saw and equate that to a normal scenario. I mean, we have not had a volatile commodity. You know, pulses have been very, relatively speaking, a very stable commodity over the past 10 years. So when you look at a historically high price adjusting, and you look at, you know, a complete crop failure in 2007 in Turkey, you know, with only 70,000 tons of production, recovering up to 280, and this year, you know, the U.S. Ag Attaché this last week released his estimate of 510,000 tons of lentils in Turkey. So you can see a progression from 70 to 270 to 510. I mean, this is not normal supply. So when you end up in a position where all of those things corrected themselves in one quarter, it continued to freeze everybody.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think that you will see that type of volatility.
Okay.
I don't think there was anything extraordinary in quarter one that drove demand beyond what was normal. And we have to recognize it's a staple protein consumption that's growing around the world. And Alliance's huge results were driven by the fact that we've become, you know, a multi-origin diversified company in our space.
Okay, so you just...
And we have market reach, David, that no one else has in our business.
Yeah. So, okay, so you made a very important point. You do not see the first quarter as, let's call it, for lack of better terminology, channel stuffing.
No, definitely not. And that's why your comment of why do I feel like that stock will stay around? David, the stocks are, you know, overall, the large consumption markets are relatively empty. And so, you know, we don't have a channel that's stuffed full, we saw no demand, and it's going to continue.
Okay.
So that's definitely not the case. At least that's our opinion. I mean, we can't get into every importer's warehouse and tell you what's in there, but we can get into the major importers because they're all our customers. And I definitely don't feel quarter one's an aberration.
Okay, great answer. Thanks very much.
Next question is from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Anoop, how are you?
Good, thanks. Just a couple of questions. First, coming back to the past of the business, even after we adjust for the restatement, if you will, it looks like the revenues there this quarter were $9 million versus, call it, $18 million in Q1. So I believe earlier in the call you characterized the past of the business as being strong, but I look at this and your revenues are down quite materially on a sequential basis. So on what basis do you characterize that as being strong?
Well, we have a couple of things. I mean, you know, there is, you know, some seasonality in the past of business. So we see that, you know, in a quarter two period where, you know, we're transitioning from, you know, cooler weather to warmer weather. So we saw a bit of that. But, you know, basically, when I look at, for me, the characterization of the past of business as strong, you know, is that, you know, we continue to make our advances in the distribution. You know, we're continuing to drive our utilization. And we were at a level, Anoop, in the second quarter, you know, where we'd actually, as a result of strong, you know, business in the first quarter, you know, I can tell you that our warehouses and everything were empty. So, you know, we ended up in the second quarter in a position where we met sales. We were also able to replenish our stocks, you know, to get ready for a fall season again. And so, I think that ultimately when I look at the sales forecast going forward, I do characterize it as strong.
My understanding of the pasta business was that it was materially less sensitive than the lentil business, and that was one of the primary benefits to your platform, was that it softened the shoulders.
It definitely does. And, you know, again, when I look at it, as I said, it delivered consistent earnings this quarter. And as we grow the volume in the pasta side, it provides us with shoulders to get us through times when the pulse business is less so. So, you know, ultimately, you know, when I look at the pasta business, I still foresee, you know, significant growth.
I look at the crop forecast for this year, and I guess for Canadian lentils, the forecast is something in the neighborhood of 1.6, 1.7 million tons. I'm just curious, can you give us a sense of what you think the on-farm storage is in Canada, capacity-wise?
You're just talking about the raw on-farm storage?
Yep.
Gaetan, do you want to take a run at that one? I could try to, I mean, but it's just really anoop at the guess.
Yeah, I mean, a common number that people throw out is a year and a half storage, I think, so.
1.5 years of storage?
Yeah, 1.5. I was going to use the same one. But it's anecdotal, Anoop, so,
that's,
you know, we always kind of say that in normal yields, we can store a year and a half of total production.
Okay. All right. And then just coming back to Turkey for a second, I mean, you said the crop came off in mid-June. Did you see a marked increase in activity there then in July and August?
Sorry, a marked decrease, did you say?
Increase. Did you see a big jump?
Oh, yeah, of course. I was going to say, no, not a market a decrease.
Can you give us a sense?
Yes, a market increase in activity. I mean, they're, you know, I can tell you I've had the benefit of spending the last week in Maersin, and, you know, it's happily a hive of activity.
Would it be fair to say that the capacity utilization there is somewhere in the 70-80% range right now?
You know what, Anoop, it's too early to tell. I can tell you that, you know, we continue to, you know, look at building out sales opportunities. I mean, I will tell you one thing that's important in Turkey is to build out everything else beyond lentils. So, you know, the pasta is taking care of itself. We're building out the Bulgur utilization because we have a huge Bulgur capacity that's not being utilized today. So we're building that out. You know, chickpeas and beans, you know, we want that line not to be running just with lentils. We want it to be running with chickpeas and beans. And, you know, that all, you know, contributes to the smoothing of the seasonality of the business. And so the boosting of utilization at Arbal to go from, I think we used the estimation of 18% utilization last year, you know, with the crop problems, and then it boosted up to maybe 50% last year in the fall period because of Canadian crop. You know, that's, we're targeting to get to utilization of where Canada, U.S., and Australia are. That's the work in progress.
Do you still think it's reasonable then to assume utilization on a full-year basis after it's all said and done and getting up into that high 60% range, which I think is what we've spoken about in the past as being a target?
No, pasta would be higher than that. Right? Did you just say pasta? Oops, sorry, your voice kind of cut out there.
I guess I'm talking about the consolidated entity.
Yeah, the consolidated entity, our target would be to try and get that to the high 50s, 60s utilization.
Okay,
sorry, Turkey, right?
Well, when we talk about, I think it was 65, 67% utilization, I think we're talking about all facilities, are we not?
Well, we were saying that our utilization was running around that in Canada, U.S., Australia, and that in Turkey it was slightly lower. And we were working towards making sure that the group utilization was around that level, yes.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Sorry, you confused me a bit, Anoop, with the Turkey versus consolidated. I was just a little bit confused.
The next question comes from Sandy El Baroudi, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Could you just comment on these exchange rate changes, please?
Yeah, Sandy, you know what? In both GAAP reporting and in IFRS, in the International Financial Reporting Standards, we have to do a snapshot of our foreign exchange position. So, you know, Laurie, I think it's just best if you wanted to just give Sandy a real layman's, for all of us layman view of the foreign exchange losses.
Sure. So at each reporting period, Alliance has a number of outstanding foreign exchange contracts that we book through banks to hedge our foreign currency risk. What we have to do at each reporting period is we have to take our outstanding book of contracts and the average rate on those contracts, and then we have to say, okay, on June 30th, if we had to execute all those contracts, how much would the U.S. dollar cost us to purchase in Canadian dollars? And what had happened is our average foreign exchange rates on the open contracts was around 103 to the U.S., and the spot rate on June 30th was more in the range of 105. So we have a snapshot unrealized loss on those contracts. In addition, we have to take all of our outstanding U.S. Loans, both in Turkey and Canada, as well as in Australia. We also have to compare those to the local currency and take a snapshot of those as well. So it's an entry that's done each quarter, and it's recalculated every quarter. It's required for reporting, and it does tend to, go back and forth quite a bit because the dollar fluctuates so much.
Sandy, I think that there's one thing I want to add to that. This is a non-cash effect. This is why we, as the analysts that cover Alliance, look at adjusted EBITDA, adjusted net income. For all of our investors, we've started to list the EBITDA, the foreign exchange gain or loss, and the adjusted EBITDA afterwards. Because realistically, when you're looking at the earnings of the company, these are not cash items. They're not actual losses or actual gains. They're only for reporting purposes. That's why they need to be backed out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Sandy.
As a reminder, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. We have a follow-up question from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Quick question. Can you give us a sense of what your net long exposure was to any of these commodities through the quarter, if any?
You're talking about just basically any net exposure to any of which of the commodities that we hold?
Yeah, exactly. So where you've bought something.
Mark, that... let me tell you that we always say we have very little effect of changes in the commodity price, to our net profit or loss. Now, the only change in that is product that we ship from Canada, U.S., or Australia into Turkey for processing. So, I can tell you that there were not, very significant amounts. There may have been some long positions of lentils that had been shipped very late in quarter one, that would have arrived in quarter two and been part of the adjustment in the commodity price in Turkey. Outside of that, I wouldn't consider there to be major effects.
Okay, so the market...
And I mean, green lentils, chickpeas, the other ones, we run a very tight commodity position. But let me not be clear. We do have commodity risk in this business, as we do in any business. We attempt to mitigate that by limiting any material long and short positions. Mark, the fundamentals of our business. You've now even had a chance to visit all of our factory or many of our locations in the world. We fundamentally buy product from farmers, drive them through our facilities, and sell them to our customers. We don't store product to, benefit. And I'm glad we didn't, because the commodity prices adjusted downwards pretty materially.
Right, and that's
did it have any effect on the quarter? Yeah, definitely. It had, small effects. It made a difficult situation slightly worse. But
okay.
It wasn't, a big material loss.
Okay, and so Anoop asked about the sort of targets on capacity utilization, and I don't think you've answered it. Can you tell us what the utilization was approximately this quarter?
Quarter two. I mean, that quarter two is, utilization-wise. I mean, listen, guys, there's utilization, and there's utilization in our core business. Okay, this quarter demonstrates that I can deliver revenue anytime. We have marketing strength that no other company has in our business. But I don't care about revenue. I care about margin. So, we had to utilize our factories because we had to pay our bills. And, remember, for those of you who know, who've gotten to know me, I view the fact that I have to pay the bills. It's your money and it's my money, and we have to pay the bills. So, utilization was actually higher than I would have liked this quarter, because we drove business through that was not in our traditional margin profile, but we did it in order to pay bills.
Okay, so
from that perspective, what's that?
I was going to say, for me to get a sense of how low that margin per ton actually went, it's helpful to get the utilization number so you can figure out what that implied margin per ton is.
Yeah, I mean, Gaetan, with the $149 million of sales, you know, Gaetan, do you have any comments on you know, how utilization was this quarter versus last?
I would say, what did we run? Probably about 60%.
Okay. And that's system-wide.
Yeah.
And was Fenora not open at all this quarter?
The Wilkie plant shut down, was it last week of April, Gaetan?
That's right.
Yeah, it shut down the last week of April. We're doing a complete, upgrade, adding 3 Z4 Plus color sorting lines. That facility is, you know, by far, it's become one of the crown jewels in the Alliance repertoire, and when we're done with it, it's going to reopen on the 24th of August, I think. So it's a lean, mean, fighting machine, Mark. It's ready to roll now.
Oh, and that 60%.
So the largest plant was largely out of our rotation for the year quarter.
And that 60% utilization is including or excluding Fenora as part.
Would be excluding.
Okay.
That plant. And the Rosetown plant were actually decommissioned for most of the quarter.
Okay, that's good.
And decommissioned, just to clarify,
yep.
Decommissioned, undergoing planned capital expansions to be ready for a very large new crop.
Yeah, okay.
So not decommissioned as in not coming back online. They're online and ready for the new crop.
Okay, thank you.
Steve Anderson.
Omar, do we have anything more queued up there?
Yep. I think, Joe, are you announcing the next caller?
The next question is from Steve Andersons of Venator Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, Murat.
Hey, Steve. How are you, buddy?
Good. I'm just trying to follow on with Pupo's question a little bit and understand more of the what happens in Europe, Middle East, North Africa. Like, did you say it went from $130 million last quarter to $18 million in sales this quarter in that region?
Yes.
So does that mean that these guys, you know, fill the bins up going into the first quarter, run them down, run them dry, and you're saying they're pretty dry right now, and then fill them up again all the way? Like, how does it work typically?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, you have to understand these are widely consumed items, you know, where there is a...
down, obviously, right?
What's that?
Consumption patterns aren't going down.
No, definitely not. I mean, in fact, we're seeing now, you know, the other thing we've got to factor into this whole equation for going forward is, remember, the adjustment in price downwards was one of the factors that paralyzed demand because of the fear of loss. But the adjustment of prices downward stimulates consumption. So on a catch-up basis, consumption is actually stimulated by lower prices. So from that perspective, you know, we have an empty pipeline and a demand profile that looks even stronger.
So you're sitting with these bins empty, as far as you're concerned, throughout Middle East and North Africa, right?
We're tapping them and we're hearing hollow sounds, Steve. That's our view today.
So does that mean these guys have to come to the spot market, thereby pushing up prices, increasing your margins for the next little while? Like, is there a rush buy for them through Ramadan? Is that what you're saying?
No, Ramadan is pretty much covered. I mean, we're already into the almost the end of the first week.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying is we're feeling the inquiries coming because they didn't buy, and so you know what they bought was a hand to mouth buy. They drew down stocks, and we think they'll have to replenish. And you know when they replenish, remember we've got transit time issues from Canada too, where you know it takes 45 days to get to market, but Turkey's right on the doorstep.
So
and we've got a very big capacity ready to rock and roll here, too.
Yeah, and when they replenish typically all the way, or how does that work? Or is it partial?
I mean, remember, you can only postpone consumption so long because these are not luxury items. These are need-to-have commodities. And, you know, when you get to a point where, you know, in the market there's no stocks, you know, they need to replenish and they can't do it over time. They have to do it right away. So, you know, this is where we're saying that with available supplies
yeah.
online in Turkey and big crops coming and capacity ready, you know, we feel that demand fundamentals in the Middle East, North Africa, and of course the Indian subcontinent are going to continue strong throughout quarter three, quarter four, quarter one.
So I forgive me if I'm wrong here, but it looks like when you have these guys fill up their bins, they've got about two quarters of supply in market, in country, right? And then typically they would buy partway through a quarter and replenish a portion of that, and they just chose not to this time. So it's not really channel stuff.
Well, there's another factor here too. Remember, winter consumption is the predominant consumption, right? So
Okay. You
just came through the period where, you know, with if you look at, you know, weather patterns in this region, you know, I can tell you that today in the little city that I'm in Turkey, the temperature was 38 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're getting into the consumption season. So, you know, in addition to the fact that they drew down stocks and the seasonality of the business, they're coming into the peak consumption period again.
And do they typically look to, like, should we be looking for that 130 to 18 million delta the opposite way this quarter, or is that too much to look for?
You know what, I can't be that specific. I can't say, because we're only one player in it, right? We happen to be the largest, but, you know, certainly as our sales go, I can tell you that our you know, regional competitors weren't busy during this period. So, you know, yes, we should see, you know, some changes, you know, to reflect the delta, as you called it.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Next question is a follow-up from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes. In the MD&A, Murad, you mentioned what's happening in India. I'm wondering, there's some severe weather, has been severe weather in Pakistan. I'm wondering if that has any effect from both the supply, primarily from the supply side. I'm trying to go from memory here that whether or not Pakistan is a big player, producer in the pulse side.
Jace, can you take a run at that first, and then I'll add?
Yeah, sure can. We're starting to feel a little bit of follow-up from Pakistan, where they're coming to the market looking for the early shipment slot, and there's been some emergency aid announced. You know, in a normal year, they'll take about 50,000 ton of red lentils from Canada. So we think there's a good chance that'll move up this season. And on the chickpea side, definitely the number should move up with and there's some problems in Turkey and India. Its market is moving up as well. Canada should be in good position with its smaller crop to take some more of that to chickpea market as well.
And Robert, following on your India comment, I mean, the severe weather that we saw in Pakistan on the flood side, you know, there are reports of shorter monsoon rains this year in India. So, you know, again, how that will all play out to their supply of their, you know, main pulses harvest in the lentil harvest there is in March. So it's still a long ways away, but, you know, we're forecasting, you know, strong demand fundamentals. I mean, you know, the Indian subcontinent in general, the demand-supply gap is widening. This is all part of a, you know, very strong focus of ours into that region. And, you know, even in some of our public disclosures, you've seen us be very direct about further expansion in the Indian subcontinent, both on warehousing, distribution, and local processing, because we believe that this is not a temporary phenomenon. This is one that is going to be continuing for years and years to come.
Great. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Anup Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. In Q2, we talked about the revenues being impacted by greater proportion of lower margin product being sold, primarily peas. I'm wondering, in addition to the peas, were there any sort of was there any canary seed or mustard or anything else in there that brought that mix down, or was it primarily just peas?
They can. Dayton, are you there?
I missed that question.
Anup, can you repeat that question for us, please?
Certainly. I was just trying to understand a little more. In talking about the Q2 results, we said that the results were impacted by a higher proportion of lower margin business, which was primarily peas. And I was wondering if, in addition to peas, there was any other lower margin product, canary seed or mustard or anything along those lines that was part of the mix, or was it just peas?
Yeah, we would dabble a bit, of course, always in canary seed. The thing about field peas, when you jump into it in a container way, the way we are, you know, 85% of the world's peas would move to bulk markets via bulk vessels. So it's very competitive. So, you know, the fact that we did it all in containers and managed to get by this quarter is remarkable, in my opinion.
So can you just
Anoop, the other thing I should say is, you know, there was some business. Like one of the things that, you know, now in that we should point out is there was a very large rice tender that we participated in as well, and that rice tender was somewhere in the range of about $16-17 million that was to the Turkish government. So it was Egyptian rice into the Turkish government, and that was just merely Egyptian rice processed, traded to the Turkish government. So, you know, that wouldn't have been running through any of our plants at all. And so that would be one aberration that would have brought our sales figure up. And that wouldn't be at a processing margin. It would have been just a trading margin.
So can you just give us a sense in Q2, the percentage of revenue that would have come from peas versus what it would have been in Q1?
I would venture to guess, if you look at the segmented revenue geography, you know, note that I mentioned earlier, you know, out of the large proportion of the Asian business, I would say, 80% of that is peas, and in the first quarter, you would have had negligible peas. You would have had maybe, you know, 5%.
Okay.
So this is a big pea quarter because it was available stock. See, when you're having widespread rains and you can't get the limited lentil stocks off farm and you want to get them into your plants to process them, you turn to what you can get. And peas were readily available. So we turned to peas, we drove our utilization, we got some stuff out, and generated some margin.
Okay.
And that's, that brings us to the end of our questions. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. I would like to remind everyone still on the call that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you all for attending our conference call, and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.